learn to shepherd others in life, in the divine life. Of course, we have the tremendous example and prototype of Christ in John 10, where he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And then we know what that means, right? He did lay down his life when he was crucified. But he also laid down his life as a kind of a style of how he lived on the earth. That was his pattern. You see, he just sacrificed, did whatever it took to please the Father, to take care of his disciples. And by that, finally, he did the ultimate thing, which is to give up his own life or to lay it down. You see, so he's the top example, and of course, because of that, we call him the Good Shepherd. And Peter even referred to him as the Chief Shepherd, right? Then in John 10:14, he says again, "I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my own." See, this is where a shepherd comes in. If we're going to follow Christ, we need to know. We need to know those. The Lord says, "I know my own." You see, we need to, in principle, say, you know, I know the ones the Lord has given me to shepherd. See, I know my own. and my own know me. You know, this is a mutual knowing. This is kind of really getting a shepherding thing going in life, organically built up in reality, so that we are following the pathway of the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, you see. Then we would also be a shepherd in life, okay? Then Acts 20:28, this is Paul talking to the elders in the church at Ephesus right before he left that part. And he said a very strong word here in Acts 20:28. He said, as he was leaving, his final words to them were, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock." Again, it's a shepherd and a sheep thing. "Among whom the Holy Spirit has placed you as overseers." I think King James says elders. But anyway, elders in Greek is overseers. The Greek is episkopos. See, to see is scope. And over is epi. Episkopos is overseer. Now, the Lord set the pattern, but in Acts 20:28, the Holy Spirit placed these brothers as overseers to oversee their soul. And how do you do that? To shepherd. You see, this is where we pick up the word to shepherd. To shepherd the church of God. The church of God. See, the church, it's so good. I like this phrase, the church of God, because it just shows it's, the church belongs to God. See, it's God's church. The church of God, which he... Now, we need some grammar here. So, let's see. Who's strong in grammar? Who's strong? Okay, do you see this verse? It says, to shepherd the church of God. Okay, then it says, comma, which he... Who is he here? Okay, I agree with that. Obtained, which he obtained through his, who is his? God. It's a possessive form of God, or of he. Yeah. And it says, his own blood. Then whose blood is that? God's own blood. See, we have a problem here. How can God have blood? Grammatically, you admit that God has blood here? Okay. This is a strong word. By the way, you can look at any version of the Bible, the American version or the international version or the any version, concordant version, any of them. They'll all say that none of them tries to get around this. It's too clear cut in its Greek phraseology, okay? How can God have blood? It's a little bit peculiar, isn't it? You know what? See, Paul's mind, he just doesn't have this separation between God and Jesus Christ. So in the same phrase, he's talking about God, and then he talks about the blood of Christ. Doesn't this prove that Jesus is God? Okay. Anyway, we need to see that overseeing is a matter of life and so forth. And then I put down Psalm 23, but it's a long psalm, so I didn't want to write it all out and take the space. Most of you know this. This is the American... To religion, Psalm 23 is what apple pie and Coca-Cola is to Americans. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know, so many people know this. Even unbelievers know this. Psalm 23. It's everywhere. You see, Psalm 23. But very few realize this is a psalm about Christ after his crucifixion, in resurrection, becoming the shepherd of the sheep, because he causes them to lie down, his sheep, in what, green pastures, and he leads them beside the still waters. And he takes them through troubled times as well, the valley times, you see. How do we know this? Because in chapter 22 is the great psalm of the crucifixion of Christ. And if you read that psalm, you'll get the details of what was going on inside the person of Christ while he was being crucified, that is not portrayed anywhere else in the Bible. Then Psalm 23 totally reverts to the end of the crucifixion and the beginning of resurrection, and he is, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. And very few people realize that this is a picture of Christ in resurrection shepherding his believers in life so that they would eat and drink him, you see, as their real food and their real drink. So I encourage you to get in both those psalms, really. You'll have a big, big meal there if you do that. Okay? Now, to shepherd others, I think you need to do this way. You know, I was talking to somebody just very recently, and I made this point, and the more I thought about it, I said, you know, I should just tell everybody the same thing. You see, if we want to shepherd others, we have to do it in life, okay, and we have to do it in a way. If we want it to be in life, we have to do it in a way that we really are taking care of that particular sheep and that person. You see? For example, if I'm trying to shepherd you, and let's say you say to me, brother, you know what, and I really would like some fellowship about this, okay? And I say to you, well, all I can say is what I've experienced, and I tell you my experience along the same line. Mm-hmm. Did I or did I not shepherd you? Depends. It does. It really depends. Maybe my experience is what you needed, mm-hmm. but maybe it wasn't. You see? So when we shepherd people, we don't just check, well, what do I feel? I mean, on a subjective, personal level. But we step back and we check with the Lord, you see? And we get the Lord's feeling apart from my, you know, personal feeling. And we get the Lord's feeling because hopefully we're constituted a little bit with Christ. And so we have him, his anointing, we get his feeling. And then we apply that to a person's particular need after we've listened to them long enough to discern that need. When we do that, we shepherd them in life, you see. Do y'all follow what I'm saying? Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? Since nobody's saying anything, I think it's safe to say nearly everybody's done that at least somewhat. But, you know, the life of a shepherd, do you think Paul all the time was saying, oh, you have a problem? Well, you know, my answer to that was I went to the third heavens and so forth. And, you know, if you could do that, you probably just wouldn't really be bothered anymore with those earthly things like that. You know, I was in paradise, you know, and saw things that's not good for people. It's not good to speak about, you know. And I don't even know if I was in my own body or not when that happened and so forth. So, John, try your best to have that kind of experience. And I'll leave you with that, you know. See? No, I didn't help him. I gave him absolute inability to do anything. You know, that experience was for Paul. That was not for John. But I have to step back, and John, if you'll talk and explain and so forth, then I can get into it by listening, and the Lord can help me with some things, you see, and then maybe I have a word for you, see, to help shepherd you. See, this is the best way to shepherd in life. Okay.